Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. Stay tuned for Metro.
Yes. Yes, gentle listeners, thank you for joining us on your community radio station, KGNU, this afternoon. I'm your host for Metro, Dave Ashton, and really happy to be presenting this afternoon the work of our Denver Public Schools interns. We are hosting two great kids here at the Buell Media Center through Denver Public Schools Career Launch Program. And today we're going to be displaying some of the work that we have done here. And so here to talk about the program and what we're getting into, Kalel Medina, welcome to your Metro debut.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Awesome. Tell us, what have you been learning so far in the program?
So far, I think one of the big ones is editing, like editing audio in general. We use Audacity here, and to record, we use Adobe Audition. And so the big things we've been recording right now are a lot of interviews we've been doing for either podcasts or solo projects that we're going to be doing to be turned in at the end of the internship.
Without a doubt. And we're going to look at some of the podcast work that you and Jaylene have been doing. And so here within the internship, I thought it would be important that we have lunch built in to our program every day. And, you know, it's kind of like we wanted to make sure that we're up here on the third floor, that we have lunch available for our students. And so I made some moves to make sure we had a lunch sponsor. So when I started feeding you guys, and I told you, like, this food is from a food rescue. What did you think?
I was surprised because I hadn't heard of, like, food rescue in general until now. You told us about a lot of places. Like, there's the same cafe we learned about. I thought that was a really interesting idea. I really like it. I want to check it out when I get the chance. And some other major ones we learned about was there's Joy's Kitchen and the Denver Food Rescue. And so learning that the food we were eating every lunch was from these food rescue places, it made it more of, I guess, an event rather than just a meal.
That's great. Yeah. It is kind of an event because we're rolling out different stuff depending on what gets rescued. And so it kind of piqued you guys' interest and led to us doing the productions that we're about to share with people here on Metro today. So tell us a little bit about what the process has been for recording the audio that we're about to hear.
The two interviews for this podcast, it sparked when we learned about the food rescue in general. And we decided one of the podcasts we were going to do was going to be about food rescue. And so the first place we reached out to was Joy's Kitchen. And so you were able to get in contact with the founder there, and we were able to set up a phone interview. So we used the main board to sort of control the volume and levels of the first interview. And the second interview we did was in person, actually, here in the studio.
Great. So before we get into the interviews, what did you find out about food rescues that really piqued your interest?
I think some of the major things I thought were really cool is like the environmental impact it has as well. It helps the community so much all around Denver, and even bigger than that. There's ones all around Colorado and even nationally, but it also has a huge environmental impact, making sure food doesn't end up in landfills and trash there as well.
Awesome. We're going to start rolling some tape. We'll start with the Denver Public Schools Career Launch intern speaking with Kathy Stanley of Joy's Kitchen. Here's what we found out.
Hi, guys.
Hi. Nice to finally talk to you. We've been learning a bit about you recently.
Wonderful. That's good to know.
Yeah. So I guess just to start off, can you introduce yourself and what you do at Joy's Kitchen?
Sure. My name is Kathy Stanley, and I'm the founder and executive director of Joy's Kitchen.
Like, what's Joy's Kitchen's, like, mission as a whole, as a big operation?
Sure. Yeah, sure. So Joy's Kitchen has two missions, and the first is to build intentional community, and the second is to acquire already existing goods and food for the better of all beings. We've been around for almost 11 years.
What are some of the biggest contributors to food waste here in Denver?
So grocery market chains. Also, that being said, I mean, that's what Joyce Kitchen specializes in. We specialize in grocery rescue. So we recover whole food that's viable from being thrown out due to over-marketing or overproduction. Very low percentage of our food is compromised or has an expiration date within range. Most of the food that we pick up is because there's an overabundance of the food and not enough room for display in a grocery store. But Varas, Colorado, food waste goes from farms to retail markets to people's homes. So it's really hard to tell which is the biggest contributor of that. It's kind of an all broken chain kind of thing.
Another question, what are some ways the Denver community can get involved in Joy's Kitchen and food rescue as a whole?
Joy's Kitchen is 100% community supported right now, and most of the time we are not grant funded. So it's a community-led project, so people can donate. We serve about 5,000 families a month, between 15 and 20,000 people in those family units. And that's food for a week or more through Food Access. Each one of those boxes of food weighs between 45 to 65 pounds and costs us about $5 to go out. So people contributing to Joy's Kitchen is the biggest way they can support food rescue. And then the second way is to come volunteer with us.
So what are some of the main tasks a volunteer can do at Joy's Kitchen?
So we have 420 unique volunteers a month. Our schedule and way to sign up is on joyskitchen.org. We offer about 72 different shifts a week that you can see on that schedule. The morning shifts usually receive the food. We have two trucks and two trailers who go out, and those trucks come back to Joy's. Our morning volunteers serve the food, make sure that anything compromised is in the compost, and that it looks beautiful for our public to receive and to walk through. And then the afternoon shift usually focuses on the distribution of the food with the guests that come in that we serve.
What are some other major reasons that food waste is so abundant?
It's really a consumer-driven market. So when you get down to the bare of the issue, it's the public's demand for all different kinds of food to be readily available at all times in a convenient way. What we see happening here is, you know, companies, food producers, are going to try to come up with new products all of the time so that we spend our money on convenience and packaging and that kind of thing. What we're seeing is a lot of single-use plastic packaging around fruits and vegetables and that kind of thing, which also shortens the duration of their lifespan.
What are some of the, like, really big environmental impacts of food waste as a whole?
There's so much research being done on this. Food waste is a huge contributor to what's landing in our landfills, causing greenhouse gases. And it's a huge factor. What we're also seeing is the plastic use. So every day, we rescue between 2,000 and 6,000 pounds of food with two trucks and two trailers on a very micro level. And we're able to compost about 1,000 pounds of truly not edible food into compost after we've tried to get that food through animal use. So we see this huge amount of food being thrown away. Consumers can do two things. They can buy things that aren't packaged and then not overbuy. I think a lot of consumers overbuy their food, so at home we're apt to waste a lot of food as well. At Joy's Kitchen, making sure the food that's in that pack, in the plastic packaging, is utilized and not thrown in the landfill. If we weren't rescuing that 6,000 pounds, I would say roughly about 45% of that food that we rescue is in plastic that would land in a landfill, not able to decompose. Plastic would not be able to be recycled. What Joy's Kitchen does is goes into those establishments and trains them on how to donate the viable food instead of waste it, which is a big help. But there are a lot of groups right now working on legislation on local and national levels.
On the site for Joy's Kitchen, There was a line that really interested me. It said, every time you eat food from Joy's, you are the solution. And I was just wondering if you could elaborate on that just a little bit.
Right now, what we see is a systemic issue where if you are in poverty and can't afford healthy food, there's a big process to receive food. What we're doing and what we have tried to do and are successfully doing is breaking down those barriers for people to access this food. The reality that people are eating the food that we're recovering, they're helping the environment by not letting that land in waste. So somebody that is hungry, that is coming to Joy's Kitchen, is actually the solution rather than a problem. So changing that view from if you're hungry and cannot afford food, there is plenty of viable food. And there are a lot of other agencies now in Colorado that are following the same model that are opening access to this food. Right now, there is no shortage of viable food to meet the need. The distribution of that food and the acquisition of the food, that's the kind of issue, right? We want to make sure that everybody who comes here doesn't feel shame on receiving food that if they did not pick up would end in waste. Changing that mindset from like shame and guilt from not being able to afford food to you're the solution. Thank you for helping us recover this food. Thank you for eating this food. Thank you for recycling the plastic that this food is in. 95% of our volunteer population comes from being a guest at Joy's Kitchen. We really try to break down those barriers so that all people feel equal and all people have the right to eat the healthy food that is already out there.
How far is the outreach of Joy's Kitchen? Is it just in Denver or all of Colorado?
So it's not just in Denver. It's Denver Metro. Our reach is from Lakewood. Our main facility isn't, we only have one facility. It's in Lakewood. We have partnerships with Colorado Coalition for the Homeless. We have partnerships with outreaches up in Kittredge and up in the mountains. So our reach goes from Lakewood all the way to Denver, to Aurora, to West and Evergreen and Kittredge. But that being said, our main source for people to receive this food is coming in person at our building in Lakewood. So we do not restrict. There's no requirements or restrictions ever to receive food here. So people come as far as Fort Collins, Boulder. We had a couple of people come from Durango this last week to receive food.
To wrap things up, I can thank you so much for your time. One last question. Is there any other big Denver food rescue organizations you'd like to give a shout out to?
Sure. There's a lot of great organizations. They're doing an amazing job. Captain Food Rescue is one of the best. They do a lot. Their volume is incredibly high. And they're another organization that's just doing amazing things. I do have to say that most hunger relief agencies in Colorado are trying their best to utilize already existing food. I think that Denver and Metro Denver, so surrounding areas, are really trying to do their part to make sure the public has access to this food. The biggest challenge is funding these programs individually.
Is there anything we didn't cover that you would like to share?
So, yeah, everybody that comes to Joy's Kitchen, we do two circles a day to try to build that intentional community. Dave can tell you more about that as well. We really try to build an authentic community within the volunteer population. We really believe that the stronger community that we can build that serves our guests and then turns our guests into volunteers and active participants into our program, the more community we can build, the more resources we can share with one another so that we don't find ourselves in crisis.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your time, Kathy. We really appreciate it.
That's the work of Jaylene Martell and Kalel Medina, KGNU's summer interns through Denver Public Schools Career Launch Program. And Kalel, what a really great piece. Thank you.
Yeah, of course.
So tell us about the next piece we're going to hear.
After this, we have an interview with Letitia Steele, who is currently the CEO of Denver Food Rescue. Talking to her, we learned a lot. We learned a lot from Kathy, but even from asking similar questions and some more personalized ones from Letitia, we were able to gain an even wider, scope of just food rescue in general in Denver. Thank you for being here. Can you introduce yourself?
My name is Letitia Steele, and I am the executive director for Denver Food Rescue, as well as the co-chair for the Denver Sustainable Food Policy Council.
How was the Denver Food Rescue started?
Denver Food Rescue was started back in 2012, actually as an arm of Boulder Food Rescue, and they began to address the problem with surplus produce and how that was really affecting the environment and how it was all going into the landfill, as well as there are so many folks who don't have access to healthy and nutritious foods. So much is ending up in the trash can. And in 2014, Denver Food Rescue, we became our own 501c3 nonprofit. Turner Wyatt, he was our founder. He just started working with different neighborhoods around the city. He worked a lot with Beverly Grant, with Mobetta Green Marketplace. Bev started out on our board and helped Turner open the first two no-cost grocery programs. And since 2014, we've expanded to having 23 no-cost grocery programs, and we're rescuing just about 800,000 pounds of food every year from farms, from grocery stores, from farmers markets, and all of this is surplus, beautiful produce that just can't find its way to the shelves.
What are some of the biggest contributors to food waste here in Denver?
I would say the individual human and grocery stores.
So what are some ways that the Denver community can get involved in the Denver Food Rescue and just food rescue as a whole?
I would say, first off, maybe don't buy so much. Buy in smaller amounts and just use what you know that you're going to use. Everyone's always joking about, like in the memes, bananas, like, I bought more bananas and now I'm throwing them away and I'm buying this lettuce and it's just going to completely be thrown away in the same package. So just be more thoughtful and more intentional when you're shopping for food. I would really suggest supporting all the great CSAs around the city. We have so many wonderful local farmers, and that's a really great way to just even cut down on the amount of transportation it's taking to get produce from across our country, from other countries. Just support the local folks and purchase from them. We have Sprout City Farms. That's really great. There's Frontline Farming, Denver Botanic Gardens. They all have really great CSA programs.
On the Denver Food Rescue website, it says that lasting solutions will only be formed through consistent and authentic engagement with people who are experiencing the issue we exist to address. I was just wondering if you could explain how the Denver Food Rescue makes these voices heard and implements their ideas.
I look at it more as co-powering. I'm not a big fan of the word empower. I feel like that's saying you're being given power when you already inherently have it. There are so many choices that are made for people by the folks that aren't actually there and just have their own ideas about how issues need to be addressed. When you're in a community, you know what the community needs. When you're working in the community, when you live in that community, and for so many policies to be made without actually speaking to the community and knowing what their ideas are, that I know that's not the way Denver Food Rescue works, and just as a human, that's not the way that I work. The way that Denver Food Rescue operates is we don't go out into community and say, here, you need all of this food. We're picking up this surplus food and you need to distribute it. We step back and folks that want to host no-cost grocery programs in their community and their rec centers and their schools, they approach us. It's a completely open source model. They come to us and say, this is what we want to do. And we work out ways to provide them with the food that they're requesting.
Are there other big things that factor into the amount of food waste besides just overproduction?
Let's see, overproduction. There's the overpurchasing. There is a lot to do with the supply chain, the ability to hire farmers to pick food, so a lot of food does inherently just end up dying out in the fields. There's some great organizations that have started specifically Uproot Colorado that is focused on gleaning, so they will get lots of volunteers to go to these farms and pick all of the surplus produce and then bring it to organizations like ours.
So what is your role in the Denver Food Rescue as the CEO?
CEO always feels so weird to me. I like to call myself the executive director. I like to be more ingrained with the team as opposed to I'm with a corporation and this is my role. My role with Denver Food Rescue is to really help build up the brand, let more people know about what we're doing so that we can get more donors in and be able to really push the mission and be able to afford to have the products that our NCGPs need to be able to have transportation to pick up surplus food. We really do focus on also being as green as possible And we do try to transport most of our produce by e-cargo bikes. Our e-cargo bikes were donated by the Climate Action and Sustainability Resilience Center here in Denver. It was founded a handful of years ago. So I get to get out and be in community a lot, which is really great. I don't get to do the back-end stuff as much as I really like doing. Most of my life I've spent that as a chef, and then I was with Same Cafe for about 5 years, and that was just like 100% on the ground, getting to hang out with folks and cook with folks all day. And now I still get to do that, but it's just in a different setting. I would say there are times that I miss being on the ground quite a bit.
Now, so you mentioned Same Cafe. Are there any other food rescue or even just anything with the same mission, like places that you'd like to shout out?
Metro Caring. Huge shout out to Metro Caring. I love what they are doing as far as addressing root causes to hunger. It's not just a Band-Aid for them. They have lots of opportunities for folks to get job training skills, to finding a place, to getting IDs, all of these things that often prevent folks from finding employment and from finding housing. Gosh, there are so many nonprofits in Denver that I love. I love what the Grow House is doing, Project Worthmore, East Denver Food Hub. They're not a nonprofit, but they're an amazing organization that we partner with to help us get food for our Healthy Choice Food Box program. And what that program is a program that's funded by Healthy Food for Denver Kids, and it helps us distribute 600 meal kits to families every month. And East Denver Food Hub, even in the winter, they can find us beautiful produce. They tend to work more with the states that have warmer weather in the winter, so we can source at least from our region a bit more during that time.
How far is the outreach of Denver Food Rescue? Is it only here in Denver?
I would say it's more metro area. So it's Denver County, Arapahoe County, Jefferson County, Douglas County. So we work with four different counties. There's also the Boulder Food Rescue. There was Colorado Springs Food Rescue, and they just kind of switched up their model a little bit, and now they're called Food for Power, but it's similar to our model, but definitely more expanded now with their own farm and things like that, but still super focused on food rescue and no-cost grocery programs.
Can you give us a little insight on the environmental impact of, like, major food waste?
I know about 40% of food is wasted every year, be it from production, be it from homes. So last year, Denver Food Rescue, we rescued about 800,000 pounds of food from landfills. And what that did was save 552,000 kilograms of carbon emissions from going out into the atmosphere. When we think about food rescue, we're not just thinking about that immediate food. Like when it's produced, we're thinking about all the energy, all of the water, all of the labor that went into it. So being able to save that much is quite beneficial to the environment. And then also just thinking about cutting back on the use of gas-powered vehicles and using electric vehicles, electric cargo bikes, and things like that.
Do you know if there's any major, like, propositions for a solution currently to the large amounts of food waste, either just in Colorado or, like, nationally?
I know Colorado and also nationally, folks are really pushing to remove a lot of the barriers that keep restaurants and grocery stores from donating, removing the probability that a restaurant would be sued. Say, if someone got some surplus food from a catering event, they donated it, someone got sick, the restaurant then, throughout the years, they could be held liable for that. And that's just prevented them from wanting to donate. They will make all of this great food, have it for service, and then literally throw it in the trash at the end of the night. Similar with grocery stores, not letting people come by and pick up the food. Maybe it's just easier for them to throw it out. Maybe it's easier to not hold something at temp, and really implementing policies that ensure that they are donating. California's just done something in that realm where it's mandatory in certain counties to actually donate the food.
And then is there anything else we missed that you'd like to mention?
We have our annual fundraiser on September 17th. It is our food rescue ride. It's going to be a little bit different this year. Still going to have a great ride. We're also really encouraging people to participate in any way that they can, if it's walking, if it's running, if it's rolling on a scooter or really anything that you want to do to get to the party. We're going to be biking into the city this year as opposed to out of the city. We're going to have five different paths that will lead everyone to York Street Yards, which is the center of a lot of the communities that we work with, the Cole Clayton GES neighborhood right there between 38th and Steele and 38th in York. And we're hoping most people will take the Brighton Greenway to end up there.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
We've learned a lot about food rescue here this afternoon through the lens of our interns at KGNU's Denver studio here at the Buell Media Center. Khalil Medina, thank you for all your great work on production.
Thank you very much.
You have any shout outs before we get out of here?
Yeah. My partner, Jaylene, she did quite a bit of the editing on this project and helped me with some of the interviews. Without her, this would have taken much longer. And of course, shout out to my beautiful girlfriend, Asia. Hope you're having a wonderful day. Mwah.
Oh, yes, the love is real. Folks, keep tuned to KGNU for more from our summer interns to come. This is Dave Ashton. Thanks for tuning in to Metro.